Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty the Lady. So what?
It's the Twits Odyssey again. We're approaching the end of Roald Dahl's The Twits, which we're doing and we have done for the past 3 months or so.
Didn't think it would go on this long, if I'm honest. But
we never do. I mean,
it's only a short
book. While I've got you, I think we should do Ripley's again this Christmas.
Yeah.
For a few weeks, because I enjoyed Ripley's last year and there's a new one in the shops now. I think we should randomly dive into that again.
Feels Christmassy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it could be a Christmas tradition, couldn't it?
Yeah, so I'll either be asking for it for Christmas for myself or buying it for my son.
Get out there and buy it now. And we'll dive into it.
And don't forget, we were watching on Discovery for a while. I think you were watching it too. The TV show of Ripley's Believe It or Not.
No, I didn't watch it. I forgot about that because you suggested it and I didn't get around to it. Was there some Hollywood star that presented it or something?
Yeah, I didn't recognise him, but he was so captivating that I did some digging. And he was just some guy who'd been in lots of, you know, B movies and
cult films, and also
every TV show. You know, been in Knight Rider and everything that our old mate made. I think he'd been in.
We'd have done it better. Oh, Glenn A. Larson.
Glenn A. Larson, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Is there a Glenn A. Larson biography? I wonder if there is.
Fucking wants to be, doesn't there?
We'll write one and then dive it.
The man who built the dreams that drove us, something like that. I mean, you know, he's like people go on about Walt Disney and Steve Jobs, don't they? Mm. But where's the love for Glenn A. Larson, a man who is very much the architect of the popular culture that shaped us all?
Have you seen the Steve Jobs documentary film that's out?
No, is it interesting?
It's on Sky Documentaries. It is interesting.
I don't know much about him. I never watched that film about him.
He was a cunt.
Yeah, pretty I know much. He's a cunt, yeah.
Yeah, massive cunt, for lots of different reasons, but it's good to watch.
I got this idea for a phone, right? But it's fucking, it's more than a phone.
It's got a computer in it.
Calculator, right? Imagine this, a phone that can tell you what the weather's going to be. Yeah, you think I'm mad, don't you? Well, that's what they told Jesus.
Obviously, it's got a calculator, it's got a computer, it's got a little record player inside it. It can listen to your records. Can't fail.
It's going to have a thing on it where you can just see tits whenever you want. Tits on Demand is the working title for the thing I'm sticking in there.
For people like me and you, finding tits, it's quite hard. You've got to go out and buy magazines, or you've got to send off for them, or you've got to draw your own, or you've got to stay up late. And watch them on BBC Two.
Or I wouldn't do this, but some lads just peep through windows, changing rooms and that.
If you get lucky and you find somewhere.
That's risky.
And there's always a kind of a sense of achievement because it's a kind of a hunter-gatherer kind of thing.
Yeah.
But now...
It's not seeing the tits. It's the thrill of the chase of the tits.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reward. And the risk as well. It's kind of risk-reward thing. But with this phone, it's going to be fucking... Tits are going to be falling out of it as soon as you switch it on. So that'll all change. But, you know,
I'm thinking of calling it the tit phone. But some of my marketing people have said that's just one of the aspects that will appeal. And you're sort of pigeonholing yourself. because there'll be some people, if you want to sell it to like old folk, for instance, they're not interested in tits. They're so they said, don't niche it down. I'm not a marketing expert, but I think you put the word tits in front of anything and you're giving it half a chance of being a success.
And I said to the marketing lads, I says, well, how about we do the iPhone, as they want to call it? We'll do that. That's £400. But we can also do a tit phone that's just got tits in. That'll be 150. You know, and then it appeals to just the tit lads. But they didn't like that very much either. So we're not doing it.
Well, you know, I try to surround myself with experts. And I try to be humble. I am first among equals in my organisation. But what I will say is it's me who's coming up with these fucking ideas, right?
First among equals.
I'm the fucking engine driving all of this.
Very much first. I get paid the most. I get all the share bonuses. You know, I get the best car parking space.
Listen, all right, fine. You don't want to make it too narrow in a pill. Fine, make one with cocks on it. It's fine with me for the gay lads and that. Right? That's fine. I got no problem with that.
Cock phone. Whatever.
Cock phone. Fine. It's all fucking money in my bank, right? Whether it's for people paying for cock on a phone, tit on a phone, whatever they want. Don't care. It's all coming my way. And it all means that I fucking trample that fucking no friend weirdo Gates into the fucking ground where he belongs. Fucking spod. Fucking weird bloke, isn't he? You seen him? Fucking weird.
Fucking seen it. See what he's doing now? He's giving all his money away to the third world. What the fuck?
Fucking hell. I tell you what.
What have you fucking worked for if that's what you're going to do with it?
Trust me. Right, there's something funny there with him. No, I'm not going to say. I don't know. There's a lot of theories, but just with him, not everything is too good to be fucking true, right? Bloke's a fucking weirdo.
He's basically, I mean, I don't say this lightly, he's the Jimmy Savile of computers, I think. There's something going on.
Put it this way, sort of cunt who keeps Red Leicester as his house cheese. Yeah? You know what I mean, don't you? Like, sort of, and he'll act all normal as if it's as normal as having cheddar. You'll go around his house, you'll go, can I have a cheese sandwich? You'll go, yeah, Red Leicester, all right.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, fucking knew it. Weirdo. So,
reckons he doesn't like the Beatles either. Fucking knobhead.
Says he prefers the Kinks for their lyrics. Fuck off. Okay, now.
Fucking try hard cunt. Right. The twits. We're onto the chapter, The Furniture Goes Up. Do you have that in front of you there, Sam?
The furniture goes up.
They've glued the furniture onto the ceiling after they've already glued the carpet up there.
Yeah,
and we just, at the end of last week, we had a 17-minute monologue from the roly-poly bird because...
Yeah. Outlining his sort of libertarian slash Epicurean worldview.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And it was interesting stuff. Because it said, how would you like it if it was monkey pie they made every Wednesday and all your friends had been boiled up and I went on talking about it? So that's where we're at. Mm. And Muggle won't apologise, it's quite right. He says, I do beg your pardon. I'm so excited, sorry, I hardly know what I'm saying. Yeah. Slip of the tongue. Let's move on. No need for the 17-minute monologue. He says, I'm so excited, I hardly know what I'm saying. Now the chairs. Do the same with the chairs. All the chairs must be stuck upside down to the ceiling and in their right places. Oh, do hurry up, everyone. Any moment now, those two filthy freaks are going to come rushing in with their guns. And you can imagine what would happen if they did, can't you? Fucking hell. The stuff's all glued to the ceiling. They've got guns. It's going to be a massacre. But hopefully that won't happen. That would be a terrible ending to the book, wouldn't it? And awful. Then all the birds were shot to death. The end.
Everyone dead.
There's a tale of the unexpected for you, you little cunts. The monkeys with the birds helping them put glue on the bottom of each chair leg and hoisted them up to the ceiling. And then the smaller tables, the sofa, the sideboard, the lamps, the tiny little things as well. The ashtrays. You wouldn't get an ashtray in a children's book these days, would you? That would be fucking banned by the editors.
Oh,
we can't have an ashtray?
Well, I think we talked about this the other day. You don't see ashtrays anymore, do you? I don't think they even exist. And I've never been much of a smoker myself, but I did like ashtrays because you get nice ones. Like if you go into bric-a-brac or charity shops, you'll still see quite interesting ashtrays.
Yeah.
And they're nice ornaments to have around the place.
A pub ashtray is a fine thing to look at.
Oh, yeah. God, mind you, I saw someone...
With a brewery logo on the bottom of it.
Whoa. Yeah, I saw someone get bashed over the head with one of those once, split his head clean open. And now, whenever I look at them, I get a little bit of a, like, flashback.
Yeah. I suppose that's what it was. If they're the big, heavy glass ones, it was just like, here's a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
We've left lying around in the pub.
I bet the old Bill in those days, when there was more fighting, anyway, as we were discussing off air recently, how there used to be more fighting in the old days,
right?
In the
world, yeah.
There was just fighting was just normal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And when there was more fighting going on, the old Bill must have been going around to the pubs going, listen, you're putting, this is a place of alcohol consumption and, by extension, fighting, right? Mm. It wasn't fucking gastropubs then. It was all like drunk men, right?
It should have said above the door, licensed for alcohol and fighting.
And fighting.
And then the name of the licensee.
Fucking, you know, this is a place where angry, tired, frustrated men go to imbibe alcohol in ludicrous quantities. There's going to be aggro. Fine. But why would you put lethal weapons on every table? Please, sir, over there is your table, and you'll find a complimentary weapon sitting on it. A weapon that could fucking brain someone. I've seen it happen. The big fucking glass ones, you could kill someone with it.
Definitely, yeah.
And I remember one time I was in a pub and some cunts came into it and they were pissed up rugby lads. And so that obviously puts your hackles up. You probably don't get that in Sunderland, but occasionally you will be in a pub and there will be rugger buggers, like rugby union blokes all giving it like, rah, rah, rah. And you're like, cunts, right? Mm. And in those days, when we were kids, you're like, really? So do you know what? We thought, right, it might kick off here. And obviously they're all big lads, so everyone's going to have to use a weapon. And on the fucking walls, it was the first time I noticed it, hanging all over the walls of this pub were fucking horse brasses and them pans, brass pans with the long handles, right? Yeah. I don't know what you call them. So everyone starts long getting pans. Them off the walls. So it's like there is just the whole pub has weapons hanging on it.
Yeah.
Amazing weapons. That's what pubs were.
Yeah.
The fighting anymore. And the police and the fucking ambulance service must have been like, what the fuck are you putting all these weapons out for every night? If people were just having punch-ups, it'd be fine. But we're having to turn up and, like, deal with people, their fucking brains spilling out their heads. Mm. Silly, really, isn't it?
You'll be too young to remember this, but the first year that I started drinking in pubs was the year when the abandoned afternoon closing.
Oh.
Pubs used to close at 3 o'clock. And they'd be shut till, like, five.
When what? I was in Wales last week, there was pubs still doing that.
Whoa.
Yeah, there was
weekend.
A pub. Yeah. Well, they advertised it. They said they'd be shut at 3 till 5, but we actually walked past by 4 and went in. But they on it, when I looked up on the website, said, yeah, we're shut between 3 and 5.
Jesus Christ. I mean, Poor Wheels, as we're recording this now on Monday, Poor Wheels has just announced a 2-week proper lockdown.
Across the whole of Wales?
Two right. That's what it should be.
Mm.
That's what we need. Anyway.
Yeah, but I quite like the fact that Manchester are rebelling.
Of course.
Manchester, or Madchester, as Andy Burnham will probably start calling it soon.
But,
we're fucking mad for it. I like it that Manchester are going fucking hell. I just like it that they're fucking sticking up two fingers up to the government. I like the idea of Manchester going to war with the government.
Yeah, but it's not for, like, the reasons that people think. But Burnham's saying we need a full lockdown. He's saying tier 3 is not enough.
Right.
He's saying the scientists have said tier 3 is not enough.
Right.
And then he said this morning that he's not going to be, you know, won over by the promise of a cheque because the government are going to up their offer of furlough and stuff. He said it should be the original furlough, 80%, and also it should be a full lockdown. And he's right. And the government are turning it around and saying, oh, Andy Burnham's risking lives. He's resisting, you know, what we're trying to do and all this sort of... Fuck off. He wants more. He wants it to be stricter than they're saying. And he's right. They're the one risking fucking lives, not him. But anyway.
What I'm saying is, I like the tear-up. I like the idea of the North going to war with the government, or the South. And I'd go, so I'd say, if that happens, count me in to be on the North side.
Well, you'll have to apply. You'll have to answer a series of questions.
No, they might not have me, but I'm willing to be a, you know, like a traitor.
I'm trying to start a campaign to get the North attached onto Scotland, and then we can just all fucking detach ourselves from what I'm calling tough England.
I'm not fucking surprised. I mean, well, having said that, a lot of the North, unfortunately, did vote for this government, so...
Yeah, we enabled them, didn't we? Mm. It's complicated. And if you listen to this 9 months after we've recorded it, fuck knows what's happened since then.
Yeah, if you're listening to in the future, fucking hell. God knows what state you're in.
Yeah.
Hopefully a better one. I did read in the paper that there'd be, like, loads of vaccines by, like, February or something. That sounds like bullshit. Yeah, Geezy sounded like he looked like he knew what he was on about, the bloke who I saw saying it, so, you know.
I feel as though there could be. Maybe I'm just being overly optimistic, but I feel as though we've got vaccines coming. But you, future listener, you'll know this 9 months from now.
Oh.
You could be
swimming
around.
They'll probably rush out a vaccine. They'll rush out a fucking vaccine, because they'll have to. And then we'll all... Actually, no, it's all right. We've had this discussion before. And do you remember a doctor got in touch and explained to us, a medical professional from Big Pharma, said, don't worry, it'll be rushed through, no problem.
Right, okay.
Remember
that? I don't remember that.
I don't remember the ins and outs, but he seemed reassuring.
Some cunt on an email said something and we chose to believe it.
Yeah, sounds all right. We can move on in our minds now. Stop worrying about that.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Yeah, so they're putting all the stuff up on the ashtrays, it says. The ornaments, the beastly plastic gnome on the sideboard. It was a gnome on the sideboard. Everything, absolutely everything, must be stuck to the ceiling. It was terribly hard work. It fucking sounds like it was. It was especially difficult to stick everything onto the ceiling in exactly its right place, but they got it done in the end. What now? Asked the roly-poly bird. He was out of breath and so tired he could hardly flap his wings. Poor lad. And then the pictures. Turn the pictures upside down, obviously to make it seem as though everything's gone upside down. And it says, "Will one of you birds please fly out onto the road and watch to see when those frumptious freaks are coming back?" "I'll go," said the roly-poly bird.
Oh,
I was just
going to
nip out for a fag anyway. He says,
Of course he does.
I'll sit on the telephone wires and keep guard. It'll give me a rest. Yeah, that's right, yeah. You let the others do all the work, you prick. Yeah, I could do with a bit of a fucking break from all the blah, blah, blah. Next chapter. The ravens swoop over. Whoa. And they had only just finished the job when the roly-poly bird came swooping in, screaming, "They're coming back! They're coming back!"
The twits in the image that Quentin Blake has drawn of them on this page is fucking chilling.
They look
for
like
a
armed
child,
robbers, don't they?
For a child. These are two fucking terrifying looking nutters, right? And they are both fucking holding. They're wearing long, sort of spooky overcoats with the collars turned up. And they're in long grass and they're wearing fucking... I don't know, there's something not cartoonish enough about the firearms they're brandishing. They look fucking
realistic.
Like serious fucking double-barreled shotguns that they look fucking desperate to use. I think it's quite a scary picture for a kid to see in a storybook.
It is. Yeah, they look like armed robbers. They look ready for menacing. But here they come. Quickly, the birds flew back on the roof of the house. The monkeys rushed into their cage. And a moment later, Mr. and Mrs. Twit came marching into the garden, each carrying a fearsome-looking gun. I'm glad to see those monkeys are still upside down, said Mr. Twit. They're too stupid to do anything else, said Mrs. Twit. Hey, look at all those cheeky birds still up on the roof. Let's go inside, load our new guns, and it'll be bang, 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 and bird pie for supper. Fucking hell. Just as... Are you replying to an email there or something?
Sorry, yeah, really quickly.
Okay, we'll just have a little break while Sam replies to an email. Here's some music.
Dan, sorry, mate.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, bang, 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 and bird pie for supper. And then, just as they were about to enter the house, two black ravens swooped low over their heads. We don't have we seen the ravens before?
I don't think we have.
What's this about?
It's quite a good twist that Roald has decided to introduce some ravens at this stage in the book.
I'm looking at the pictures of the birds doing all the gluing in the house, and there's no ravens. I don't know what's... Is this something to do with the roly-poly bird, do you think? Has he instructed the ravens?
I've managed to call in a couple of favours with the raven community. We needed... I figured we could do with some extra numbers. I've made a few calls. They let's just say I've got a couple in the bank with the ravens.
So the black raven swooped low over their heads. Each bird carried a paintbrush in its claw, and each paintbrush was smeared with sticky glue. And the ravens whizzed over the top and brushed a streak of sticky glue on the tops of Mr. and Mrs. Twitz's head. They did it with the lightest touch, but even so, the Twits both felt it. "What was that?" cried Mrs. Twit. "Some beastly bird has dropped his dirty droppings on my head."
She means a bird has shat on me.
Yeah. Roald's thinking, how can I phrase this? How can I phrase this without just putting that bird shit on me?
A bird shat on her head. It's got a nice droppings. Ring to it, that. But I know those fucking uptight editors at the fucking at Puffin.
Well, but they'll get
their knickers in a twist about that. Same fuckers who stopped me calling this book the cunts.
And he says, Mr. Twit says, "On mine too.
On I mine felt too.
It. I felt it." "Don't touch it," cried Mrs. Twit. "You'll get it all over your hands. Come inside and we'll wash it off at the sink." Oh, now they're interested in fucking hygiene. All of a sudden.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Mr. Twit didn't just fucking eat it. Stick it in his beard for later on.
I'll have that for my lunch.
Yeah. "The filthy, dirty brutes," yelled Mr. Twit. "I'll bet they did it on purpose. Just wait till I've loaded up my gun." He's gone fucking demented here. He's going to just fucking blast any bird that gets in his way for any reason.
This is fucking terrifying. This is how... Well, I don't want to name specific incidents, but this is how fucking massacres happen. With some nutter who's been... And you can see it for years. When you start doing digging, right, always people go, yeah, he was fucking weird. He seemed volatile. We knew he had a fucking gun, right? But no one intervenes. And then one day, it could be started just by something small, like a bird shitting on his head.
Shitting on his head.
And then it's just like, right, every cunt's getting shot.
A flashpoint incident, isn't it? Yeah.
These people are mentally ill. Do you think that in... 2020, this was written in like 1981 or something. Do you think, you know, and unemployment was getting to its all-time high, second year of Thatcherism, what she was setting about was a complete restructure of British economy and society, right? Yeah. Very ambitious. And she, of course, I don't know if she'd actually used the phrase by now, but she was governed by, much like the roly-poly bird in some ways, by this idea of there is no society. Right, we are all a collection of individuals. So I'm pretty sure that provision for mental health back in the early 80s was next to non-existent, right?
Well, I mean, this was written during the era of fighting in pubs and glass ashtrays.
Yeah, this was the pub fighting heyday.
Casual threats of violence such as these were just de rigueur back then, really, weren't they?
Yeah, so you wouldn't be marked down as mad, would you?
Yeah.
For if you were going... But... I think this couple, to me, to my mind, I would hope that today, in 2020, a couple like this, behaving and living the way they did with their strange lifestyle and volatile behaviour, aggressive behaviour, I think there would have been an intervention of some sort by the authorities or social services by now,
wouldn't
there?
You would think so. You would hope so, but not really.
I mean, Thatcher would have been like, your Thatchers and your Tibbets would have just been like, crack on.
I'm trying to work out the perspective of this whole thing here. I'm trying to work out whether this book is Roald Dahl's Ghost Town. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the specials
was the commentary
on the Times.
Look, these are two individuals who have been let down by society. They don't have a community. They've effectively opted out. There are no safety nets. And where does that actually leave us, Mrs. Thatcher? Mm. It means that we have an empathy deficit in our communities. And that really is what this book is about, the empathy deficit. In fact, that's what he should have called it.
He should have called it the empathy deficit. Hello, welcome to Blue Peter.
Yeah,
got a very special guest coming
because
on today.
He's saying this is what happens when you announce the death of society, when you take away, you actively dismantle the institutions that held us together and the glue that you know bonds our social fabric. Mm. Then there will be consequences to that, Mrs. Thatcher, and that might be, you know, mad couples on the streets with shotguns just fucking massacring birds and monkeys.
Yeah.
And then you've got to look at yourself and think, what role did I play in this by, you know, shutting down the mines and nationalising British gas?
She never did, though. She never did look at it like that. That was the trouble.
She couldn't see the bigger picture. She couldn't see the bigger picture.
You said empathy deficit, exactly what it was.
Join the fucking dots. That is all Roald Dahl was trying to say. Join the fucking dots, right? Between real people's lives, right? Emotions, empathy, compassion, right? Day to day, fighting in pubs, and the decisions that you make in your fucking ivory towers, right? About industry, the economy, jobs. Think about it. Join the fucking dots. Read my book. It's called The Twits. I wanted to call it The Cunts, but the publishers wouldn't let us.
And I tried the empathy deficit as well, but then Blue Peter wouldn't let me on to talk about it. So The Twits it is.
Biddy Baxter said it was, unsavoury or unsettling. I think that was the word she used.
She said I should get in touch with the Children's Film Foundation. Maybe they'll make a film out of it, but probably not.
I get that Alan Parker. He made that film, The Evacuees, pretty good. But no, we weren't interested. Unsettling. Well, that's your fucking problem if you're unsettled by a fucking dose of truth, Baxter. You should get more of this shit on your programme. Instead of all that crap about tortoises. Every time I switch that fucking programme on, they're on about their fucking tortoise. I couldn't give a fuck.
I don't know any cunt that's got a tortoise. No one.
But
you
I
can't
know
get them.
Loads of cunts who've lost their job, right? Because of Tory cuts. Yeah? And you're not covering that at all.
If they did have a tortoise, they've had to either sell it or kill it and eat it.
Or eat it.
Just to get by. It's like Boys in the Black Stuff where the bloke has to shoot his rabbits. It's like that. Who the fuck's got a tortoise in 1981?
Come on. No one can fucking afford to feed the cunts. Get out of the fucking 70s, Baxter.
And yet, just a few years later, Roald Dahl's flying around in a helicopter, arriving at garden parties.
I know lots of people like that. They just fucking gave into it. My dad was in a Socialist Workers' Party in the 70s. By the 80s, he was working in advertising and driving a flash car. By the way, don't worry, he did that after he'd fucked off and left us. My mum had to put up with the Socialist Worker days when he was like, look, all fucking property's theft and we don't need money, right? We'll just fucking live in these council flats and fucking protest against the government. And then suddenly he's gone, actually, do you know what? Fuck that, I'm going to start an advertising agency. But I'm going to fuck off from this lot because living on a council estate doesn't quite feel the right fit for an ad executive.
Image.
Yeah, exactly. Getting a boss everywhere and living on a council estate, nah. Doesn't quite fit in with the... I'm going for the Don Draper image, aren't I? a lot of them did that. I think that was my dad's story and a lot of people did, it wore them down. And in the end, they just fucking gave into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If that not everyone had the opportunity, he spotted an opportunity, and there was Roald Dahl was the same.
I've been watching that the trial of the Chicago 7 that's just appeared on Netflix.
Oh yeah, I've heard it's brilliant.
Aaron Sorkin,
yeah, and an amazing cast, right?
Yeah, I watched that last night. It's brilliant. And Jerry Rubin, who was one of the Yippies, Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman, who were the revolutionaries who were trying to bring down.
Better Jerry's.
No, different.
No, go on.
Different okay. fellas.
I thought I'd worked something out.
I thought I'd worked something out.
Andy, I thought I'd worked something out again. And you're like, what have I told you about trying to work things out?
It never ends well.
You get overexcited and it always ends up blowing up in your face.
And at the end, you know, they do the captions about whatever happened to all the characters afterwards in life and all that sort of thing. Jerry Rubin, one of the two Yippies, it said, Jerry Rubin later became a stockbroker. Yeah, of course he did. Do you know what I mean?
So they just think, do you know what? I've had years of this. I'm not getting anywhere. I keep critiquing how disgusting greed is. But in the process of critiquing it, I've also studied it and identified ways in which I can get involved.
Yeah. If I got into it now, I'd be really good at it and make loads of money.
Yeah, because I understand it. I've been watching it so closely, and actually, I've learned all the tricks. So, fuck all this. I'm going to get a helicopter.
Yeah. A story as old as time itself.
Yeah. What's that rhyme? The working class can kiss my ass. I've got the foreman's job at last.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. I remember my brother singing that at me when I became editor of Heat, because I was like moaning about the journalists who worked for me, right? And he said, "Oh well, you know, he said something like they've all got to earn a living." And I was like, "I'd gone so native so quickly." I was like, "Fuck them, fuck them!" And then so he sang that song at me, and I thought, "Yeah, fair enough. You're right. I am a cunt."
Yeah. It was like that thing you were talking about the first day of the job in management is being told how to sack people or how, find out how hard it is to sack people.
Oh, yeah. You go from thinking, I hope I don't get sacked, to people just going, oh, it's really hard to sack people. And then you're like, oh, fucking hell, why is it so hard to sack people? It's all I want to do.
It just ruined their lives. So, the filthy, dirty brutes, he says, I'll just wait till I've loaded up my gun. And it says, Mrs. Twit got the key from under the doormat where Muggle Wump had carefully replaced it. Thanks for that bit of info. And into the house they went. And we'll find out what happens next time in the chapter, The Twits Are Turned Upside Down. So obviously we're getting towards the end.
But don't worry, because there's a little treat in store even when the main story ends, isn't there?
There is. There's a little section at the back which is called A Day in the Life of Roald Dahl. And I think we can get 5 episodes out of that, maybe.
Easy peasy, mate.
Easy peasy.
We'll be going way past Christmas.
Definitely.
Okay, right, that's it, lads.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. Ta-ra.
TTFN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.